Tonight we're going to be talking about demonic anointing. As we share this teaching, this is going to be critical to everybody that's here, because in your ministry and even in your walk with God, you need to understand that there are principalities and powers, and as we see tonight, there are demonic princes and kings that have been assigned to destroy the children of God. Let's start out with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. The church talks about this scripture a lot, but I really think it's time for us to get into the depth of what's really going on behind the scenes. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. All of these things that are listed here, and we're very familiar with the scripture because this is the scripture prior to ministers and people telling us that we need to put on the armor of God. But as children of God, we need to understand the battle that is ensuing right now. As a child of God, we must be aware that at all times we are in combat with unseen to the naked eye spiritual forces. And you could be having a totally wonderful day, and the demons communicate with each other and say, that person's having a good day, let's go spoil it for them. And they can bring in oppression upon you. Nobody could do anything, say anything. They just bring themselves into your area, into your room, into your job, your workplace, and they seek to destroy you. They seek to destroy the anointing that's inside of you. These spiritual forces are working in line with the enemy, and his desire is to overcome the children of God. You have to at all times be aware of this. If you're saved and in the spirit, at times you can feel the spirit realm and different things that go on in the spirit realm. And you should be aware of this. One, for your own spiritual protection, and two, so that you can help others who are going through battles and struggles and situations. Delaware is being bombarded again with NASCAR this coming weekend. That's a spiritual battle that takes place two times a year that needs to be interceded through. How many churches in this area are taking the time to intercede through the things that come to this state? How many churches are interceding against the gambling that is going on in this state? We have increased rates of gambling that are taking place, and those are areas where people are just throwing their money away into slot machines. Have you noticed that there's an increase in homelessness in this state, in this area? The homelessness increased and came in with the gambling. Do you realize that? And these are spiritual atmospheres that need to be interceded against. And we have a lot of people who claim to know what they're doing in the spirit realm, but these things are still here. They're still bombarding us. Ephesians 6:12 tells us point blank what is really going on. We are in a new 40-year dispensation of time. A new 40-year cycle. And just as with anything that you do for Christ, when you go to a new level, you will encounter new devils. So the same way we did intercession in years past, it has to change. It has to adapt, because the truth of the matter is the demons have learned your techniques. They learned that you do certain things, and they're expecting that. They notice you're going to pray 22 minutes, and then after that, at minute 23, they know they've got you, because at that point in time, you feel like I've accomplished, I've done my job. And the church has to start becoming wise in this area and realize, okay, we might need to pray to 23 and a half minutes just to trick the enemy, trick the devil. And I'm using that as an example of time, but it goes for everything that we do. We may not need to pray a certain way. We may need to switch it up and go on to praise. You know, how many times has God said use worship to do different battles and to tear down different things? And we have to start listening to the voice of God and the Spirit of God, because God may say, I want you to pray and release angels. Something simple, but it'll tear down a lot of strongholds and it'll defeat a lot of the enemies. But if we're in a mindset that it has to be done this way, and we go into battle and warfare that way, we could potentially lose. And that's not to say that we throw old things away and out. Please don't believe that, but don't become stuck in a routine or a habit or a pattern. Be flexible. Be willing for the Spirit to change you and to give you different instructions and different directions. Let's put two and two together. God has once again started reminding us about using our angelic hosts that have been assigned to us. I believe there's been a couple messages within the last month or so about angels. That's important because things are happening in the spirit realm behind the scenes. God made these angels for a reason. Angels move in and out of the anointing, the presence of God, on a regular basis. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. This is an example of the angels that are assigned to children, but this is also true of the other angels. They're in constant communication, constant contact with the Father. We know from this and other scriptures that angels are in and out of the presence of God. Some angels bring anointings from the Father, and they touch us at God's command. So we can't resist the angelic host that God is wanting for us to use. He's wanting to have us get used to commanding them and having them do different things. There's many times that angels have touched different people and strengthened them and renewed them. We know from the Word of God that angels came and strengthened Jesus. He was open to that, and we need to be open to that, because let's face it, there's going to be times the phone is off, text messages is off, emails is off, and it's just you and God in those particular situations. And wouldn't it be better for you to cry out and God say, I'm releasing an angel to you to give you strength? He's doing that in this season, and we have to be open for that right now. As you grow in the Spirit, you can feel when the atmosphere in a room changes and shifts. You can feel when different beings step into a room if you're in tune with the Spirit. So why are we not discerning of when demons step into a room? When the atmosphere shifts and a demonic anointing comes into the room. God's people are perishing for lack of knowledge. Just like there are holy angels, there are demonic angels who move in and out of the presence of the enemy. At different times, you will notice when a minister is ministering, depending upon the message that's going out, there's warfare that comes. It comes against the word. It comes against the ministry, because the demons know that if that word or that truth gets into the people, they're going to believe it, receive it, and a seed is going to be produced and they're going to grow. There was a message that was preached in here recently about holiness, and the minister that was given that message was fought terribly throughout the whole message. And at one point in time, intercession was went into, and the person who saw went into intercession saw two demons that were standing here in the pulpit area with their wings spread. So whenever the minister was shooting the word of God out, it was going into the demon's wings and it was not getting out into the people. So the people were hearing words, But the full effect of the anointing was being blocked by the demons that were standing there with their wings spread. Through intercession, through God telling that person what to do, the demons were dispatched, more angels were brought into the room, and the atmosphere changed, and the atmosphere was allowed to shift. But if no one is discerning of what's going on and praying and interceding, the freedom that's needed from the word will not get out into the people. And it's everybody's responsibility. It's not just one person's responsibility. We as the body of Christ have that task to make sure that the word gets out. You're not just there to sit in the chair, to sit in the pew. You're there to receive, but you're also there to help bring in a pure, clean spiritual atmosphere. And don't be afraid for God to show you something in the spirit realm. Don't say, I'm too young in the Lord. Don't say, I'm not a prophet. You know, don't say, I'm not an intercessor. Don't put those types of limitations on God, because he may be wanting to use you to set the whole service free. And again, we're in a new dispensation. You may be the person that's sensitive enough that day to pick up what's going on. And then that causes others to intercede. That causes others to build on what's going on. And again, this goes to the principle that God has. It's not just one person. It's the whole body. We're all fitly joined together, working together, because it's about getting the word out into the people. Does everybody understand? Just like there are holy angels, there are demonic angels who move in and out of the presence of the enemy. Tonight, I want to talk about some other categories of angels that exist in Scripture. We often hear about cherubim and seraphim, but there are some other classes of angels that exist as well. These classes can be either good or evil. There are princes, kings, rulers, powers, principalities, etc. And we need to know about the spirit realm. We find evidence of princes in Daniel chapter 10. Let's look at Daniel chapter 10, verses 13 and 20. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Excuse me. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Verse 20. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. This prince of Persia blocks the angel for 3 weeks until Michael, the archangel, chief priest, chief prince, intervenes. It never clicked into my mind, that this prince was not a human being, but a spirit, a different level of demonic angel. So we know that Michael is a good angel, but notice what the scripture says. Michael is a chief prince. This has to be the highest level of prince angels. So Michael, the chief prince, takes down the prince of Persia, and Michael tells the angel that the prince of Greece is coming. All of this time, in my mind, I thought, okay, he battled this prince of Persia. Now he's going to have to battle this prince of Greece. But if you look at this in a different way, Michael's saying, I've taken the prince of Persia out. The prince of Greece is coming and he's going to help you. He's a good prince in scripture here. When you look back at verse 20, then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. He's telling the angel who's there to minister to Daniel, everything's going to be all right. I've got it taken care of. So let's look at another category of angels. Kings. Sorry. So Michael, the chief prince, takes down the prince of Persia. And Michael tells the angel that the prince of Greece is coming. Michael does not seem concerned that the Prince of Greece is coming, so this must be an ally in the spirit realm. So let's look at another category of angels, kings. A while back in Deliverance, God started showing the Deliverance team, Pastor Barber, with demonic spirits that were kings. And we dealt very heavily for a long time with people who had kings, who had demonic kings inside of them. Again, looking at Daniel chapter 10, verses 13 and 20. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So again, Persia was demonic. The kings of Persia are demonic. This demonic prince of Persia is accompanied by demonic kings of Persia, another order of angels that were demonic. So God has commissioned us, warned us, said it's time for us to start using our angels. There's going to be a class of angels that God is going to give us authority to be able to speak to that are good angels, that are princes. God has spoken to Pastor Barbara and said that her angel is the Prince Michael, the Chief Prince Michael. Who knows what chief prince you have or prince angel that you may be able to use to do warfare with and to use in times of need. There are so many different things that are going on around about us at any given moment. All of these beings operate in the spirit realm, and you as a child of God need to be seeking God's face to know what type of atmosphere you're working in and through. You as a child of God need to be seeking God's face to know what type of atmosphere you're working in and through. All of us at different times throughout the day are trying to accomplish tasks, whether it's housework or schoolwork or classwork. And there are times when things just flow like they're supposed to, and there's times when they don't. We have to start training ourselves to think, all right, why is this not working right? Why is this thing not doing what is assigned to do, what is tasked to do? Am I being fought by some type of demonic prince or demonic king through an anointing, through someone's witchcraft prayer? And we really have to start seeking God's face on these things, because when we do, instead of us being hindered and going to a place of total and complete frustration, we can recognize, hey, this is what the battle is right now. And devil, you're not going to win, whether you're a prince devil or a king devil. You're not going to win. God is greater. I release whatever angels God has given me to release against this principality and power that's fighting me right now. And it disappears. It's defeated. We give that battle over to the Lord. And we're going to have to learn how to start doing that because of this new level that God has placed us on. I don't believe in my heart that God wants us to constantly be hindered and have a lot of time wasted in the spirit realm because we're unaware of what's going on. I believe that God is going to give us a greater level of discernment because he's told us, hey, I want you to use your angels. So as we're opening our spirit man up to receive this, God is going to give us the faith to be able to speak and to prophesy to these areas so that we're not any longer hindered. The same is true for people that we're interceding for. Again, this goes back to you can't intercede the same way that you used to 20 years ago. You have to be listening for the voice of God to tell you what is coming against the person and why is it coming against. If you can identify the what and the why, that makes the interceding easy. Because then you can concentrate forces right on that exact thing that's going on instead of just shooting a shotgun prayer up and hoping that you hit something. God doesn't want us to waste our time anymore in our prayer closet. He wants us to be very, very specific. Why? The words that we speak are powerful. You know, he's got us trained to make sure that we're being positive. He got us trained to make sure that we're not saying things that are negative. So he is able to trust us with prophetic words, words of knowledge, words of wisdom that will go straight to the point and deal with the situation. and then everybody wins. The person who's in trouble gets free, and the situation is dispatched completely. We cannot go on the idea or belief that God is going to stop these atmospheres from hindering us. And this is critical. We cannot any longer go on the idea or belief that God is going to stop these atmospheres from hindering us, because he's placed the responsibility back upon us. He's growing us up in this area because he wants us to see that we do have power and authority. We do have this new level that God has taken us into. Not only is he's showing us, but he's showing the enemy, my children, believe me. My children hear every word that I say, and they're following those words, and they're doing those words. We're going to get a lot of opportunities to practice this in the days ahead. So don't be discouraged if you've missed it or if you've messed up, because God, as God is training us, we're going to get better and better and better at this. Not for a way of pride, because God is going to start using us in this area to really destroy the works of darkness that are in his people. There are times when God will keep us completely covered and we won't have to say anything. But if you look intently at Daniel, God didn't allow the answer to come immediately. There was a fight. There was a process that Daniel had to go through. It was a battle that had to take place and play out. Spiritually, there are times when God will check us to see if we're going to cry out to him for the answer. Spiritually, there are times when God will check us to see if we're going to cry out to him for the answer. This is so important, because what is one of the things that Satan did? He rose to a place where I don't need God. I don't need to ask for help. I don't need to pray. You know, I just know what I'm supposed to do. But God is always going to check us, because he wants us to be dependent upon him. He wants us to lean upon him and not think that we have the answers in our own self. And sometimes this seems like a simple thing. It's like, I don't need to pray about that. You know, I know what I've done in the past and this has worked, but things have changed and you can't say that anymore. And again, this is about your relationship with God. He's wanting to see, are you going to rise to a place in your heart where you say, I don't need you anymore? And as soon as you do, you've stepped into pride, and that's an open door for the enemy to destroy you. That's an open door for the enemy to steal the anointing out of your life. And we always want to be constant that we are dependent upon the Father. It's not weak to say, I need help. It's not weak to say, Father, I really don't understand what's going on. Can you explain this to me? So many times I've heard Pastor Barber say, Stop whatever you're doing right now. Let's pray. And the answer comes, because there's a dependence. There's a leaning upon the Father. And it's all through Scripture how this plays out. And God is teaching us and training us in this way, because, again, we're going to be in situations you're not going to be able to call. You're not going to be able to do whatever that you're doing now. You're going to have to know on the spot, hey, Holy Spirit, show me. Show me. It's so critical right now. There are times when God is using these moments to teach us what is going on in the spirit realm. And if you don't ask, the Father's not going to tell you. He'll just let you keep muddling and muddling and muddling. And when this came to me, I was thinking about Balaam and the donkey. You know, Balaam beat that poor donkey to death because it wouldn't go any further forward. He never asked, Father, what's going on here? He was mad at the donkey. And a lot of times we're beating our donkeys and God is trying to show us or teach us something, and it's not the donkey's fault. The responsibility goes back upon us, because we're not dependent. We've risen to a level in our heart where we've grown in pride and thinking, I don't need to ask. I'm Bishop so-and-so, or I'm spiritual this and spiritual that. No, you're not. No, you're not. You have to ask. It's better to ask. 2 Kings 6, chapter 6, verses 13 to 17. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. They're talking about Elisha. And verse 14, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So picture this, your house is surrounded, the king is sent, all of his army, all of his men to come and get your master, and you don't know really what's going on. And your master's just like Jesus in the boat, sleeping, having a peaceful night's rest. But deeper in the spirit realm, the master already knows the angels are here. You don't have to be upset. You don't have to fight this battle in your flesh. You don't have to do anything because God's already taken care of it. And we as servants, we have to get on the same level of understanding as our masters, as the leaders, because they're telling us, be at peace. Don't let this thing get you into a level and a state of frustration, because it's not going to do anything. All you're going to do is just be frustrated. Don't let this thing steal your joy, because once it steals your joy, you're going to go down, then you're going to be demon infested. Because you've opened yourself up for things to happen to you that don't need to happen. So it's wisdom on the part of the servants to learn what their leaders are doing, what their masters are doing, and following those footsteps. And this was a teachable moment for this particular servant, because God used Elisha to show him, hey, and we'll see in the rest of the story what happened. Verse 16, so he answered, do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, a mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This is significant, again, because we're dealing with things in the spiritual realm that are not seen to the natural. And Elisha had faith, because he had experiences with Elijah, and he knew that he knew that he knew. So this becomes a training thing for the people that was up under him, and they learn from that experience, and they'll teach to someone else and teach to someone else. But all of this is about being obedient, doing the things that you know to do in your heart, doing the things that the Spirit is leading you to do, and letting God take care of the rest. The reality of our lives is that every day we are surrounded by beings who are good angels and bad angels. We really are. Every day, everywhere we go, in our homes, our workplaces, we can set the atmosphere that we are surrounded in by taking back the lands, repenting of any known sins, and rededicating that land back to God. There are times when me and Catherine will grab hands and say, the spirit in this house is not right. And we go into prayer and warfare. And whatever God shows us to do, we tear it down and get the atmosphere back right. If not, different dumb things start happening. You know, people start fighting with each other. And you have to be wise enough to know that it's not the people. It's not the flesh and blood that's in your midst. It's spirits that are is attacking your family, attacking your home, attacking your job. How many people have seen on your job site, everything will be fine and smooth, but the atmosphere will shift and two coworkers will just start fighting for no reason whatsoever. And they were friends. God has placed you in those positions to be able to tear down those strongholds so that they remain friends, so that those atmospheres don't come. I have to deal with customers from time to time in my job, and they bring in a demonic atmosphere, a demonic presence. And I have to be wise enough to know this really isn't this person. They're frustrated. They don't understand the process. And the demon is taking advantage of them. The demon is riding their back, trying to get at me, trying to get me to act in my flesh and say stuff that really shouldn't be said. That's not going to fix the problem. They're not going to be happy. I'm not going to be happy. And then nobody really gets their situation resolved. What type of situation are you in on your job, at school, at home? You know, because all of us are in relationships, and the devil likes to exploit for his glory, the negative glory, those relationships. And he likes to tear things down and keep people split. If the devil can divide us in our families, when our family really needs us, we won't be there for them. We'll say, oh, well, hey, I hope you make it. Instead of being the true love vessel, the true intercessor that you need to be for them. And here's how this works. And I've seen this work in the church. I've seen this work at work. I've seen this work in my family. The person that the devil is targeting is the one that always seems to either get picked on, or everybody has something to say about it at that particular moment. So it could be that they didn't pick up behind themselves. So everybody starts nitpicking that little thing. And that person is hurting. Something's happened to them. They haven't shared it. They haven't said, you know, I'm lonely. I don't feel good. You know, my body hurts or whatever. But next thing you know, all of the attention from the family is on this one particular person. Or at your job, all of the attention, you know, from your coworkers and your employees are on that one person. They don't know what spirit is attacking that person. Don't jump on the bandwagon. Take a step back and be the spiritual person and say, God, what's really going on here? Extend the olive branch. You know, be the one to be the love vessel and say, I'm just going to reach out. How can I help you? Is there anything I can pray with you about? Sometimes they'll say no, but sometimes when they say no, then God starts talking to you. This is what's really going on. And you can make a spiritual difference in their lives instead of being a part of the group. And there's a mob mentality that is really running rampant right now, because if somebody starts a fight somewhere, next thing you know, the whole store is in a fight, or the whole, you know, football field is in a fight. You have to train yourself to not be in that mob mentality. You have to train yourself to not, when someone start, you know, picking at somebody else, take the Holy Spirit approach and be silent and go into prayer. Because there's something going on that's different, that's more spiritual than what you're realizing. And if we take this approach in this new level, in this new realm that God has us in, we are going to be able to destroy the enemy and stop him from destroying people. I want to do that. I want to walk in that place where I'm not being used as a tool of the enemy to destroy another person, to destroy God's people. In our homes, our workplaces, we can set the atmosphere that we are surrounded in by taking back the land, repenting of any known sins, and rededicating that land back to God. But there are going to be times when you're out and about and you don't have control of the atmosphere or region you're traveling in, and you will be actively fought by the demon princes, kings and demons, etc., that are in that area. This is just a reality. And at those particular times, you need to be asking the Holy Spirit, what type of angelic covering do I need to place over myself so that these things do not attach themselves to me, attach themselves to my family, jump into my car, come onto my property? You know, and we have to start thinking this way, because we can ride through an area that's demonically infested and pick up all the demons in that area. You take them home, take them to work, you take them into the church. A lot of us everything's good Sunday morning when we roll in here, but we ride through areas that are demonically infested, and by the time we get to church, some people are fighting like cats and dogs, and then they bring that demonic spirit into the church, and it disrupts the service. It disrupts what God's going to do. So this is why I believe God is trying to get us to see, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the spirit realm that we have to be more accountable to and more aware of right now. Matthew Henry's commentary says some interesting things about Ephesians 6:12. The combat for which we are to be prepared is not against ordinary human enemies, not barely against men compounded of flesh and blood, nor against our own corrupt natures, singly considered, but against the several ranks of devils who have a government which they exercise in this world. And you see, I highlighted who have a government which they exercise in this world. The body of Christ needs to get deep into reality that the enemy is organized. He is structured, and he does nothing haphazardly. Delaware is in the midst of one of the biggest demonic battles of all time. And the spiritual fruit of this battle is a very strong demonic anointing that is being produced. Do you understand that? We're going to go into this tonight so that you get a clear picture. Why are we in this battle right now? One reason is I know that God is going to use Delaware to produce the revival that is going to hit the East Coast, that's going to go across the entire United States. That's the main reason. Here's another reason. We are in this battle because the highest political leader in the Democrat Party lives in Delaware. Former vice president and now candidate for the 2020 election, Joseph R. Biden. Do you understand that because he carries so much weight spiritually in the political realm, whatever he says and does affects the entire state of Delaware? So, who's been in the news here recently? Former vice president Joe Biden. Why is this significant? It is significant because principalities and powers like the limelight, the spotlight, and they not only concentrate in areas of sin, but in areas where they are seen. So, they have the same nature and character as their father, the devil. And let's look at this, because here's scriptural proof of what was just said. Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. starting at verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. See, that's highlighted in yellow. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit in the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's all pride. And in any studies that you've done on Satan, it's been proven, studied out, and we're not going to go into all of that tonight, that that's pride. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, which goes to the point that demons like to be seen. They want to be exalted. They want to be pushed to the top. And sometimes the biggest religious spirit that will come into a church, it wants attention. It has to have some type of spotlight pointed on it. And it's not the person. It's the demon that's inside of that person that's wanting to be seen. Whether it's, you know, oh, poor me, woe is me, or look at what I did for you. You know, if you start thinking about this in terms of what the spirit wants to be seen, you can understand the nature of the battle. So you have the, oh look what I did, or oh woe is me, poor me. They're both sides of the same coin. They're both sides of pride. So if you're dealing with a person with a religious spirit, the root is want is the spirit that's inside of that person wanting to be seen, wanting to be glorified. And it's not, it's the spirit because it wants to be exalted. It wants to be pushed to the top. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And a man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Second big major characteristic, anyone that operates in this level is not going to be godly. They're not going to want the Spirit of God to be exalted, promoted, put to the forefront, because it's taken away from their limelight. It's taken away from their spotlight that's being placed upon them. So it's going to start a rebellion amongst the people. 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. There is a tremendous demonic anointing that came over this state because the political and spiritual leaders of this state are in some forms of sin. There's no getting around that. There is a tremendous demonic anointing that comes over this state because the political and spiritual leaders of this state are in sin, Joe Biden being top amongst them. Look at some of these headlines that are in here. There is one headline that says, probably not able to read those. One headline that says, photo shows Joe Hunter Biden golfing with Ukrainian oil exec in 2014. Joe Biden leads Democratic challengers in Missouri, but experts say he's a far from a lock. Joe and Hunter Biden golf with Ukraine gas executive in 2014. The next headline, why Barack Obama refused to endorse Joe Biden, is revealed in a new book. Joe Biden versus the Democratic economy truthers. Joe Biden seen golfing with Ukrainian gas company executive again. These are some of the top headlines that was in the news just yesterday. All of these things draw attention to him, which draws attention to Delaware. So what does the demons do? They send more demons into Delaware because they want to be exalted. So those same demons that are coming into Delaware through our political and spiritual leaders are spreading themselves over the land of Delaware. They're because they have a home, they know there's going to be more spotlights and more attention placed on these people. So I'm going to get my turn at the top. I'm going to get my turn in the limelight and the spotlight. Look at the crime that has increased in Delaware. Just in Dover, shootings that have occurred. We definitely have the drug epidemic in Delaware that has increased. In little small towns and small communities, the violent crimes are starting to pick up. Why? The demons are coming in to this area, in this region, and the church is not interceding against what's going on. The church is looking at, oh, it's neat that we have Joe Biden as a political candidate for 2020. What kind of intercession is going on right now to stop this influx of demonic anointing that is coming in? None. Very little. I shouldn't say none, very little, because I believe God is speaking to the remnant churches and telling them to pray. So you have a whole entire state that is 3/4 Democrat. Where do you think they're going to vote if Joe Biden makes it to the election in 2020, in November 6th? Because they're of the same mindset as him. They like him. You know, he's from Delaware. They're going to vote for him. They're not going to vote God. Same spirit, same attitude that he has, they have. This is church people too. This is church people too. Black, white, whatever. Just because he's from where he's at. We don't tend to focus on demonic anointings in the church, but there is an atmosphere that is attacking remnant churches all over this region. The body of Christ needs to know that the devil works through a demonic anointing. This anointing is the glue that ties human spirits, demonic spirits, and those who work in darkness together. This demonic anointing comes from a combination of their prayers, their fastings, their sacrifices, and the buildup of sin in the land. These things give the enemy the ability to move freely in a particular area. If there is not corporate intercession, individual intercession, repentance, holiness amongst God's people, then the enemy's anointing is getting stronger by virtue of the truth that no one is in agreement against the sin. No one is in agreement against the sin. We're literally sitting around watching this go on, wringing our hands saying, this is bad, but what are we doing to intercede and to stop it? What are we doing to call angels into Delaware to go to these people, to bring conviction, to have the Holy Spirit speak to them so that they change, so that the hearts of the people of Delaware change? This has to begin. If you don't understand anything else tonight, you need to remember that the enemy and his forces are in unity and agreement. They are in unity and agreement. Do you realize that if Joe Biden makes it to the ballot in 2020, that there will be people who will vote for him just because he is from Delaware, just because Obama had him as vice president, just because he is a Democrat, etc.? The same deception that Joe Biden walks in falls down upon the people of this state. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're prone to falling into deception. Sin is deceptive. If you willingly walk in sin, you're opening a door for deception to take you into further, deeper sins. The principalities and powers mentioned in Ephesians 6:12 are not content with just getting people into sin. They want to take you into a state where you deny your relationship with God altogether. They want to take you into a state where you deny your relationship with God altogether. The deception that has come across this land is real, and it is tied to end time prophecy. This is why you feel the atmosphere that you feel inside of this state. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. What is some of the number one things that is going on within Delaware right now in regards to the truth of the word? There's a couple of active homosexual communities in Delaware. Rehoboth area has them. Bethany Beach area has them. And there's some others. They know what the truth of the word of God says, but they're refusing to follow it, refusing to obey it. And the church has become tolerant to these communities and to these areas. What type of spiritual darkness are we permitting and allowing into these areas? Some of the senators and the representatives of this state are actively homosexual. It's known. It's known their behaviors and the things that they do. The spiritual atmosphere is being changed, is being corrupted by these people. But it's also being accepted by the church, because we're saying we want to love everybody, and we're having a mixed message of the gospel. And the church in Delaware is responsible for this. And we have to have a clear, unified message of we love the person, we don't love the sin. And then let God bring deliverance. But if we're not speaking and teaching the truth to these people, if we're skirting around it, saying we really don't want to bring that into the church or have them come here, we're allowing for an agreement to take place where the enemy is getting a stronghold over the state. When you look at the items, when you look at the list of items listed in 2 Timothy, you need to see this from the perspective of these sins are things that give demons room to operate, not only in an individual, but in an area. The concentration of corruption that occurs is the perfect breeding ground for demons. And this becomes the fuel which feeds the desire for the person to engage in these sins on a deeper level. Do you understand that people who are fighting drugs right now, they're not just fighting the drugs in themselves, they're fighting the drugs that is in the atmosphere of the state, because right now there's legislation pending to legalize marijuana in the state of Delaware. So there is, on one hand, let's help the opioid crisis and epidemic. But on the other hand, let's make money because we can sell this marijuana to these people. It's a mixed message. It's a mixed message. So your heart has to go out to someone who's fighting drugs, because if they go to the state to get help, the state's saying, we'll give you another drug to get you off the drug that you're on. It's not a total set of deliverance. It's not you don't have to live this way the rest of your life. We'll help you, because we're going to make you dependent upon us for the rest of your lives, because we're making money off of this stuff that we're giving you. You see, it's the demons that are inside of the people that are working for the government. The senators and the representatives are saying, hey, this is a good idea because, you know, this is helping people, but it's not. It's creating more and more bondage, which is causing more and more demons to come into the state, which is opening, making it even harder for people who really, really want to get off and out and free, to get free. Because they're not only fighting themselves and their families, they're fighting the atmosphere and the battle in the atmosphere over the state. That's sad. But the sadder part is it's our responsibility as a church to actively fight against this in the spirit realm. And this new level, I believe God is going to start having us do this on a deeper level, in a deeper way. Because he knows these people don't want to be bound in this stuff. People don't want to be bound in homosexuality. They're looking for a way out. I was listening at a story this week, in closing. This guy, a young guy, 12 years old, and in the church, He was raped and molested by the choir director in the church. Started living a homosexual lifestyle behind the scenes, but he was, at 12 years old, he was prophesying, preaching, and the person who raped him continued to minister. He wasn't sat down, he wasn't corrected, he wasn't changed. So this 12-year-old boy went from 12 to 17. He didn't have any relationships, but he was battling in his mind with all of these thoughts. He got into a homosexual relationship. They sat him down, said, you can't do that. And he was saying he had to be ministered to by this homosexual who raped him, but he couldn't let his gift go out, or he couldn't get true healing, because He was a public figure, a public person. The church is messed up. The church is messed up. His story is sad because everybody that he went to in the church was a hidden closet homosexual, and they continued his abuse all the way up until he was 28. I felt so grieved and so sorry for him because he really wanted to change. And this is so important that we understand that there's anointings that are demonic. We understand that God wants us to be clean and pure so that people can be free and they can get out of the bondage that's in them. I remember when I first started, we first started ministering to people who were into lust and perversion. And there was a guy who constantly masturbated. And he went to another pastor, and the pastor said it was okay for him to do. And it's like, why would you tell him that? It's not clean. It's unclean. It's impure. But that put him into further confusion. It's like, why would this pastor tell me this? And we can't get a breakthrough because there's so many mixed messages and mixed signals that's coming from the church. And we've got to clean this up. We've got to clean this up so we can be a pure, clean voice that the people can run to, and we can be strong towers for God to use us to say, hey, there is true holiness, there's true purity. And you don't have to live this lifestyle. You don't have to live this way. Tonight, God really wanted you to understand this whole dynamic of there's more going on behind the scenes in the spirit realm than what we're hearing about. You know, there are some places that are speaking it, preaching it, teaching it, but it doesn't get promoted in the church at large because it's not the popular thing. We don't want to scare you. We don't want to let you know that there may be a demon, you know, sitting right next to you. We don't want to let you know that, you know, God has given you power and authority. You, yourself, the person who sits in the pew, we want to keep you dependent upon us. So if you have those kind of problems, you come to us and we'll pray and we'll lay hands on you and we'll speak. No, this is not what God is doing right now. He's equipping and empowering everybody because there's so many who need to be touched. There's so many who need to be trained, educated, and sent back out. And your job as a believer is to get as close to God as you can, to get the anointing as deep as you can, and then train other people. Because one person can't minister to everybody. There's so many people who are really, really hungry, and they want the truth. They want to be set free. And tonight, God wants to anoint you with that hunger and that passion to set other people free. He wants you with this new understanding of the demonic anointing, with this new understanding that you're in a battle spiritually against principalities and powers, that he's gifted you, he's going to give you the tools that you need to be able to help other people. So the altar's open tonight.